be away. But I need some time away.
Won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
Greetings, this is Stephen Merritt, and I apparently on WGXC Accra, which I think of as WGXC Hudson, but I don't know. I've never been to Accra.
Saturday, May 1st, tune in the 8th annual Reveille broadcast on WGXC. It's 25 hours following the sunrise around the earth and listening to the dawn chorus at places throughout the world. The broadcast starts at midnight Eastern time, starting in London, heading across the Atlantic and picking up sounds from Wave Farm in the 5 a.m. hour. Then you hear daybreak across the United States, across the Pacific Ocean, into Asia, Africa, Europe, and back in London at midnight. Tune in all day, May 1st, from midnight to midnight, to Reveille on the radio at WGXC.org and go to soundtent.org for more information about this broadcast.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXE sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
If you were only 1 inch tall, you'd ride a worm to school. The teardrop of a crying ant would be a swimming pool for you. A crumb of cake would be a feast. Last you 7 days at least. A flea would be a frightening beast if you was 1 inch tall. If you were only 1 inch tall, you'd walk beneath a door, and it would take about a month to get down to the store. A bit of fluff would be your bed. You'd swing upon a spider's thread and wear a thimble on your head if you were 1 inch tall. You'd surf across the kitchen sink upon a stick of gum. You couldn't hug your mama. You'd just have to hug her thumb. You'd run from people's feet in fright. To move a pen would take all night. This poem took 14 years to write, 'cause I'm just 1 inch tall.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am a student at Columbia Greene Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Ashuda. I am 19 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Georgia. I am from Hudson.
I'm Fadia, and I'm also from Hudson, and I'm 7 years old.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Because that's what we do every day. Well, every radio day. I guess I talk about books and bookish things most days. I am a librarian. But anyways, who would like to get us started? How about Georgia?
So I'm sharing a book that I really love called The Egypt Game. I think they actually have this in the library. It's a really popular book. And it's a really nice book. So it's about these two girls who meet and they instantly click over their love of Egypt. And so they start a game called the Egypt Game. It's like a club. And then more and more children start to join. And then it goes from 2 to 6. And then they think it's a game, and then strange things start happening to the participants. So I will read the back. The first time Aleeni Ross meets April Hall, she's not sure they have anything in common, but she soon discovers that they both love anything to do with the ancient Egypt. When they stumble upon a deserted storage yard behind the A to Z Antiques and Curio shop, Aleeni and April decides the perfect spot for the Egypt game. Before long, there are six Egyptians instead of two. After school and on weekends, they all meet to wear costumes, hold ceremonies, and work on their secret code. Everyone thinks it's just a game until strange things begin happening to the players. Has the Egypt game gone too far?
Has it gone too far, Georgia?
You will see.
I can't remember if I read that book, but I remember the title from when I was a kid. I'm pretty sure it was out when I was a kid, unless I'm confusing it with another book.
Really? Huh, no wonder it's so popular. Okay, let's see. I'm going to check the copyright.
1986. So yeah, when I was a kid, it was out. 1972. That's before I was born. Yeah, there's all these different editions.
I thought it'd be much later, like 2015 or something.
Yeah, it looks like the 70s maybe. But it's nice that it's held up over the years. I'm curious if they changed it at all. Every once in a while, they update a book to be more present-day friendly. I've read a couple of those. They're somewhat amusing to see the changes.
Like, I haven't really read any of those, but...
Maybe you don't realize you have.
Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a book called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume. That's very popular, long-time book. I think that came out either while I was a child or before I was born. I'm not sure. But I remember it from when I was a kid. I didn't read it as a kid, but I remember seeing it at the library because the cover was really pretty. And a part of that book discusses menstruation because she's hitting puberty. And a lot of sort of the products that are available today are different from the products that were available then. And so what some of the updated versions have different feminine hygiene products, which is one way they updated it. And then there's some books by Lois Duncan that were out when I was a kid too that are sort of like YA books from probably the 80s or the 90s. And there weren't cell phones then. So that's one thing that's missing from those books that doesn't really connect well with today's youth. And so in some cases, they like have added that in so that the characters have their phones at the beginning and then they lose them or they go into a spot where their phones don't work. So it's sort of amusing to see those changes made. But did you read that book recently, Georgia, or is that like an old favorite?
I read that last summer during COVID-19.
And what do you like most about it?
Everything.
That's a good middle grade selection for elementary and middle school age readers. And who's that one by? I don't know if you said the author's name.
Her name is, so hard to read her first name on the cover. Wait, I can read that. Okay. Zilpha Keatley Snyder.
So if people want to check that out.
Hard to remember. Zilpha Keatley Slider.
It's hard to say, huh?
Zilpha Keatley Snyder. Okay, I think I got it. Or is it Snyder? Yeah.
Snyder. Yeah, it's Snyder. Cool. Thanks for sharing. How about Amelia?
I haven't gotten a chance to read very much this past week, but I do have some stuff I'm looking forward to reading. I am still working my way through those Junji Ito mangas. I bought a ton of them. I want to mention again, the most interesting one I think I found isn't actually Junji Ito's original work. It is just illustrated by him. That's because it is actually retelling a manga version of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And that looks very, very interesting. It looks very, very cool. And I can't wait to check that out and see how his illustrations are going to contribute to the story. Because like I've said before, his illustrations are probably some of the most unique and terrifying things I've ever seen. A couple of years ago, I think they tried to make an anime out of some of his short stories, and it just didn't translate well, because a good portion of what makes his work so frightening is the experience of turning the page and not really knowing what you're looking at for a while, and then like the horror once you realize what you are looking at. So like the manga format, the comic format, is like a very big part of the scare. It's like the page turn, like startled, like feeling you get when you first see that one illustration that it's been building up to.
That's really cool. I hadn't heard of this artist before, artist and author, but we did buy, I think it's called Go.
Yeah,
we bought that for the library because nobody on the system had it. And since it was highly suggested by Amelia, we thought somebody in the system should have it.
That's the first of his works I had ever read. Mm-hmm. It was very, very unnerving.
Yes, so not for our younger readers, probably.
No, definitely not.
unless they're really into that kind of scary thing. Some younger kids are, but I will not be suggesting that to younger readers, probably. Well, I hope you enjoy those. How about Mashuda or Fatia? Who'd like to go next?
Me and Fatia, we both have poems, so I think Fatia would like to go first.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Yeah, she's just super excited. She wrote that poem.
Penguins, first lesson is ESL. Then comes the second lesson, math. Penguins, third lesson is penguin science. Penguins, fourth lesson is reading. Then penguins, last lesson is art, and more art.
Excellent. I love penguins, especially such smart penguins that know so many languages and math and science and art.
And my penguin is really smart.
Yeah.
It's like Arabic, English, Bengali, so many languages.
Wow.
And more.
Penguin, do they know penguin too?
Yeah.
They know so many languages.
How they know them so quickly? They started knowing them when they were born.
Mm-hmm.
By their parents. And her mom is Mrs. Penguin, and her dad is Mr. Penguin.
Nice. Sounds like a lovely family.
They're actually, her parents are actually both teachers.
Cool. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that poem. I like when you share your poems.
Welcome.
And Mashuda, is your poem that you wanted to share one you wrote or one that you found?
That I found. So I found the poem is Ode on the Spring by Thomas Gray. Since it's springtime, that poem just gives a vibe to a spring, which is my favorite season. So lo, where the rosy bosom hours, fair Venus train appear. Disclose the long-expecting flowers and awake the purple year. The attic warbler pours her throat, responsive to the cuckoo's note. The untaught harmony of spring, while whispering pleasure as they fly. Cool zephyrs through the clear blue sky, their gathered fragrance fling. Where the oak's thick branches stretch, a broader browner shade, where the road and mass grown beach of our canopies the glade, beside some water's rushy brink, with me the muse shall sit and think, our ease reclined in rustic state, how vain the ardor of the proud, how little are the proud, how indigenous the great, still the toiling hand of care, the painting heart's repose. Yet hark how through the peopled air the buzzy murmur glows. The insect youth are on the wing, eager to taste the honeyed spring, and float amid the liquid noon, some lightly over the current skim, some show their gaily gilded trim, quick glancing to the sun, to contemplation silver eye, such as the race of men, and that crib and that fly, shall end where they began, alike the busy and the gay, but flutter through life's little day, its in fortune's varying colors dressed, brushed by the hand of rogue mischance, or chilled by age, their airy dance, they live in dust to rest, Methinks I hear in accent low and sportive kind reply, poor moralist and what art thou, a solitary fly. Thy joys no glittering female meets, for high past bow of hoarded sweets, no painted plumage to display. One hasty wings, thy youth is flown. Thy sun is set, thy spring is gone. We frolic while it's May.
That was such a beautiful poem, Mashuda.
Thank you. It was pretty long, but like it just, I don't know. A lot of the words, like I didn't understand, but I loved how it sounds. So like this poem was like a difficult for me because I only read it 2 times, but like I really have to sometimes, some poems, to actually understand the meaning, I would have to read it like 3 times, depending on like the version. Because like a lot of times I often interpret the poems like in what I'm thinking, and then I go back to see like if my interpretation matches with what the author was trying to say. But the reason why I loved it, because like it just like it just gives me like that, I mean, I'm like experiencing spring, which is like, does that make sense?
And the spring is a favorite season too.
Yeah, that poem really made me feel like I was out in nature on a nice spring day. It definitely like painted a scene.
Yeah, same with me.
I just feel like painting now.
Yeah, you could do some painting. Maybe you can paint something inspired by the poem.
Oh, what should I paint?
Paint a spring scene. Well, anyways, I also have some poems to share. So as we know, April is National Poetry Month. And if you're listening to this on Friday evening, yesterday was Poem in Your Pocket Day, which I know that Georgia at one point in her life memorized a poem called Poem in Your Pocket.
Actually, I had to do it 5 years in a row.
Whoa, 5 years?
I know. I still know it by heart.
Can you say some of it?
I can say all of it. Keep a poem in your pocket and a picture in your head, and you'll never feel lonely at night when you're in bed. The little words will sing to you. The dozen dreams will dance to you at night when you're in bed. So keep a picture in your pocket and a poem in your head, and you'll never feel lonely at night when you're in bed. I think I may have missed a part.
That's still cool that you remember that much of it.
Thank you.
I love the idea of Poem in Your Pocket Day. It's like a little more challenging with COVID, but because you're not probably running into people as much. But the idea is that you would celebrate your love of poetry by finding a short poem that you could keep in your pocket. I guess it could be long, but it would take up a lot more of your pocket space. But you'd keep a poem in your pocket, and then you're supposed to like share it with people throughout the day.
You could print it on American Girl doll paper. It could be American Girl, the world's longest poem on American Girl doll paper. It'd be the size of a small poem.
I don't know what American Girl doll paper is. Is it mini paper?
Do you know American Girl dolls?
Yeah.
It'd be like paper for them. I don't think they've even invented that. Yeah, it'd be like
doll
tiny
size.
Paper.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, and tiny words. So you could print out the world's longest poem on there, and you could just fit it in your pocket and give it to somebody, and that person would need reading, and then that person would need reading glasses because they'd be looking so close at the print. They actually make little American Girl doll books, because they're now making American Girl dolls for your American Girl dolls. So it's like, if I had a doll of myself, if I had like a Georgia American Girl doll, would that make any sense?
And then your American Girl doll of yourself has an American Girl doll of herself. It could just keep going.
Maybe. That would be so funny. But with the American Girl dolls, for American Girl dolls, all American Girl dolls come with their book. So the little American Girl dolls come with miniature books with actual print text. I once tried to read the entire Meet Kit chapter book. I had to get out my reading glasses, and then my eyes started watering for like 2 minutes. wide yeah. shot.
Smart idea. Well, the poems that I wanted to share today are short enough that they could probably be put onto American Girl doll paper. Probably not American Girl doll, American Girl doll paper, but just one level of American Girl doll. So I'll read a handful of these. We also shared these on our social media on Poem in Your Pocket Day, so you can also check them out there if you have social media accounts. Okay, so the first one is by Emily Dickinson. It's called To Make a Prairie. To make a prairie, it takes a clover and one bee, one clover and a bee, and reverie. The reverie alone will do if bees are few. And that is the whole poem. That's probably one of the shortest ones in here. The next one is In the High Country by David St. John. Some days I am happy to be no one. The shifting grasses in the May winds are miraculous enough as they ripple through the meadow of lupine. The field is iridescent as a Renaissance heaven. And do you see that boy with his arms raised like one of Raphael's angels held within this hush and this pause and the sky's lapis expanse? That boy is my son, and I am his only father, even when I am no one. And then I've got Tanka 1 by Sadakichi Hartman. Winter, spring, who knows? White buds from the plum trees wing and mingle with the snows. No blue skies these flowers bring, yet their fragrance augurs spring. And another,
I love that poem.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I like picturing, because we just have been experiencing some of these spring blooms where they sort of fall down from the trees like little petals. Well, they are petals, but little like snowflakes, they seem like.
Yeah, I love that.
So nice. This one's very short too. This one is called Fog by Carl Sandburg. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. And let's see. This one is Risk by Anais Nin. And then the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I do like that. It's very short but sweet.
Mm-hmm. Here's one from Lucille Clifton called My Mama Moved Among the Days. My mama moved among the days like a dream walker in a field. Seemed like what she touched was hers. Seemed like what touched her couldn't hold. She got us almost through the high grass. Then seemed like she turned around and ran right back in, right back on in. And this is one of my favorite poems of all time in terms of short poems. It's called The Red Wheelbarrow by William Carlos Williams. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens. And I'll do one more. This is Invisible Fish by Joy Harjo, who is the U.S. Poet Laureate. Invisible fish swim this ghost ocean, now described by waves of sand by water-worn rock. Soon the fish will learn to walk. Then humans will come ashore and paint dreams on the dying stone. Then later, much later, the ocean floor will be punctuated by Chevy trucks carrying the dreamers' descendants who are going to the store. So those are all some short poems that are very pocket-worthy, in my opinion. And if it was a normal time, I would be sharing the wealth with people, spreading the poems. But I guess we'll just share them online and on the radio for now.
That's pretty cool. I love that poem.
Which one?
Every one of them.
Me too. I like
you have such great taste.
I like the spring one. I love the spring one, which is my sister's mm-hmm. one. The best. So I love spring. Spring we hate, spring we love, and
fun. Springish things.
Springish things.
I love it. Funny.
Flowers we love.
Flowers we hate,
flowers we love, bugs we hate.
Ew, blue
bugs. Fringe things. wait, I have a new one. Okay. Flowers and weather we love, mosquitoes we hate, springish things.
Have you had mosquitoes yet?
Not really, no.
I hate mosquitoes, but ticks are the worst.
Yeah, and they're hard to get off. So if you want to check out some poems, you can go to poets.org, which is a website for the Academy of American Poets. And it's a fun way to find some poems. You can look things up by theme, by poet, by title of a specific poem. They also have a way that you can subscribe to get a poem a day in your inbox. So if you really want to like commit to like accessing some new poems, you can subscribe to that and get one mailed to you every day. But yeah, it's a really nice way to find some new poems. They also are on social media, so you can also connect that way and see some posts every day with poems. But definitely suggest people checking out some poetry, even though by the time this radio show airs, it will no longer be National Poetry Month. But like Earth Day is every day, National Poetry Month can be every month. But on that note, I think it's time for us to say goodbye for the day. We hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time.
Bye.
We'll be back next week to talk about
keep reading
some more
books.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely instead of me always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone. And when someone else instead of me